everybody. This is Chris.
And Kathy.
We wanted to take a minute to thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate every listener and are grateful for this platform.
Please help us share our vision by subscribing to our show through your favorite streaming app. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
Check out our ever-growing list of affiliates and sponsors. Simply go to the show notes for information and links.
And be sure to use our promo code PETPOD22, that's PETPOD22, on checkout to receive your discount from our affiliates. And now here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Alon Landa, CEO of MedcoVet, and I'm a proud sponsor of Petability. We decided to partner with Chris and Kathy because, like them, we want to empower all pet owners who are trying to do the most for their pets. At MedcoVet, we specialize in advanced home laser therapy for pets. Laser therapy is a safe and effective treatment for common conditions like arthritis and wounds, and it relieves pain for most conditions caused by inflammation. With MedcoVet, pet owners can perform this treatment at home while receiving support from experienced clinicians. If you think your pet would benefit from healing at home, visit MedcoVet.com, and one of our clinical experts will work with you to determine if home laser therapy is the right fit for you and your pet. Tell them Petability sent you.
Welcome to Petability. I'm your host, Kathy Simons.
And I'm your host, Chris Cranston. Our podcast provides interviews and information to help your pets live their best lives. Morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty well. I have had a little rough night's sleep, and I'll tell you why.
Ooh.
So I have a new foster cat in my household.
Yeah.
And yesterday he had what is called an enucleation surgery.
Huh.
And I'm sure you're familiar because
that's my
basically,
jam.
Yes, your jam. He had his left eye removed. And the reason for that is he was brought up to Massachusetts from Florida, and this Good Samaritan had befriended him. He was coming to her home for food. Her aim was, you know, to bring him inside eventually. But one day he came back and he had been attacked.
Oh,
yes. And they aren't sure why, but in the paperwork, it said something bigger than another cat. And the way he's reacting to my even small dogs, I think it was probably a dog-like creature. Could have been a coyote or something.
Scary.
But severely scarred. And they discovered he was blind in that eye. It had been perforated. And something that I didn't know is that the reason they recommended it be removed, because they said he's in no pain and, you know, he's functioning fine, but it can lead to cancer if it's not removed.
What?
Yeah. So they said not urgent, you know, months or years down the road, that eye could become cancerous. Yeah. Prophylactically, the rescue that I'm affiliated with moved forward with the surgery at esteemed Tufts University.
And the good news about these, about animals that have enucleations, are they do great. They do fine, especially cats. You know, this cat's going to live a full good life with one eye. No problem.
Yeah. And keep in mind, this was yesterday. I'm sleeping with him because I'm worried. Oh, he's up in the middle of the night eating. He's making biscuits on the bed. He acts today like he never had surgery. He is amazing. And
amazing with their ability to heal, I think. It's amazing. It really is. So good for you, Chris.
Thank you.
Good.
I love this cat. His name's Joker. I love him.
Maybe he should stick around. Maybe he'll be a foster fail. Who knows?
Well, I would. I've been working on that. But again, he's not so fond of the dogs.
We'll keep us posted.
Yeah, we have to find a home with no dogs for him.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we have a fantastic show today. Again, just like all our other fantastic shows. Today, we're going to be talking to Dr. Linda Rogers. And we're going to be talking today about chiropractic for pets. So let me give you a little background on Dr. Rogers. Dr. Rogers is a graduate of Tufts University School of Veterinary Medicine. She has completed extensive training in chiropractic manipulations, prolotherapy, applied kinesiology, as well as rehabilitation. She's a CCRP just like us, so she's one of our people. Yay, rehab. She practices conventional medicine with a holistic approach and has a special interest in musculoskeletal system, just like us. So she's one of our people. Dr. Rogers currently practices at Integrative Animal Health Center in Bolton, Massachusetts. And when I was researching Dr. Rogers and the Integrative Animal Health Center, I found this great review that I wanted to share because I really feel like it kind of reflects like who Dr. Rogers is. So let me just read that. It's really short, okay? I started seeing Dr. Rogers first for chiropractic services. It was an easy way to introduce my boy to her and to help him to understand that vets can be gentle and they can make him feel good. And he showed his gratitude by approaching her and giving her a gentle, small kiss. I love that. I love the little, I know. It was the only time he'd ever kissed a veterinarian or anyone in the profession. And that did it. I shifted all my care to her and to the clinic shortly thereafter. So I thought that was a real sort of true testament to the loving care that Dr. Rogers provides her patients. So
absolutely.
And, yeah. And when she's not practicing, you can find her out doing some sheep herding and competitive obedience and nose work.
Wait, is Dr. Rogers actually doing the sheep herding or are her dogs?
She is. I think she runs out there and just, yes.
Yeah. On all fours and herds those. Well, wow. Yes, that is amazing.
That's impressive. So please welcome to the show our friend, Dr. Linda Rogers.
Welcome, hello. Dr. Rogers. So happy to have you. Finally.
Hello. Thank you. Well, I'm very happy to be here and to talk to you guys. And yes, I am one of your people.
Yes, you are. You really are. Why don't we jump right in, Dr. Rogers, because I think I'm excited to talk about chiropractic medicine for pets because I've done it myself with both my dogs and they responded so well. But for our listeners who are not familiar with chiropractic, can you describe it for them? What does it look like? Maybe what it might feel like, and how is it done?
Yeah, well, it's generally, I want to call it, it's generally a therapeutic technique that restores balance and neurological function to muscles and joints. So it can be done almost anywhere on the body. So some people think it's just a spinal manipulation, but you can do it on the head, you can do it on the legs, you can do it, you know, different places where there are joints. And chiropractic is generally, it's a manual manipulation. So usually it's done with hands, but it can also be done with a small instrument called an activator. So I use both. I tend to use my hands more because I do love the, doing chiropractic because it's a hands-on technique. And I feel like I can kind of give the animal that feeling through my hands better than I can with an instrument. But in some areas, I do need to use a small instrument to be able to get into those areas that are harder to reach with my fingers and hands.
And how do they tolerate it? How do the animals tolerate it?
Yeah, most pets do really well with it. Sometimes, I mean, I'll never forget, I had somebody come in with a dog and she was pretty much, you're really lucky if you can get your hands on my dog to do chiropractic as the dog's running around the room. And I was like, all right. But as soon as you get your hands on them and you make an adjustment that makes them feel better, it's really amazing. Within a matter of minutes to sometimes a few sessions, they just settle right in and they stand still. And I've had many people say to me, my dogs would never stand still for this. Like, well, like they can't do this. And I'm like, well, why are you here? But they're here for a problem and they do really well with it. So, and I do have a few dogs that may need to be muzzled. And I'm very, you know, careful with those dogs, but relaxed is better than, you know, stressed, because if they're stressed and tense, I actually get the adjustment. So,
right.
And actually it's talking about an adjustment, because I always, you know, people are like, well, what is that? And people come in to say that, you know, I want a chiropractic adjustment. And so usually it's immobility or hypomobility of an area on the spine, or even can be on the legs or hips, something like that. And what I'm doing is actually taking a joint to the end range of motion and applying a low force, high velocity motion. And it's like a short, quick thrust. And usually, again, it's done with my hands, but sometimes I do use an activator to get in certain areas. So.
So like Kathy, well, number one, I go to a chiropractor on a regular basis, and it's amazing. And I've also brought my dogs to a veterinary chiropractor. But I guess one thing, both on the human side and with my animals, my experience is that it's not what people perceive as this, you know, popping and cracking and, you know, huge, you know, twisting motions. It's very gentle, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Sometimes you will hear a pop or a crack. That's usually a little bit of air in a joint or just a change in pressure in the joint. And so what you'll hear is that pop, but you don't have to have a pop in order to have an adjustment, because the adjustments are actually affecting the neurological system more than they're affecting the bones and the joints and the muscles, believe it or not. So that sort of motion, we're really trying to get to the neurological system in order to reset the neurological system to, you know, to create optimal balance and optimal function of a joint or a vertebral segment in the spine.
And I was told years ago by a chiropractor that I actually worked with on the human side in sports medicine that, because sometimes I would be worried as a physical therapist when I was working with maybe someone's neck and it was popping and cracking and, you know, and it wasn't my intent. And I remember he said that if it happens spontaneously, I mean, I pop and crack all over the place and joints from head to toe, that it kind of needs to do that. It's going back to its better place, if you will, in terms of alignment and things like that. And for people, you know, maybe it's something like, you know, when your knuckles crack or what have you, you know, it doesn't necessarily hurt. It's just that little noise.
And both of my dogs have had it. Not, you know, my first pug, you know, started having it when he's about 13, 14 years old, and he had some troubles with his spinal cord. And one of the things that was really problematic for him is he could not get into the position to poop, right? And maybe that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it really is a big deal, right? Because it's all about the poop. Did my dog poop this morning? What did it look like? Is he going to poop again? You know? And right after his chiropractor would take him right outside, put him right in the grass, and he would just like, boom, poop. And you could just see how thankful he's like, oh, thank goodness. You know, it felt good. And he enjoyed spending time with her and getting those adjustments.
Dr. Rogers, let's share a little bit more with our audience about, you know, what are the evidence-based benefits of chiropractic? I know there are many, so I think this is an appropriate time to kind of go through those.
Unfortunately, there's not a lot of dog studies. If I could find one, I'd be lucky. It's some in horses. Most times it's just case studies or anecdotal studies. There's nothing really that's been done formally. I think we see a lot in human medicine. So we do see a lot of chiropractic studies in human medicine. Most are beneficial, not always. There are, you know, there can be problems with chiropractic, which I'm very careful with. But yeah, I wish I could say, oh, there's definitely evidence-based out there. It's lacking. And I just think it's a lack for funding. There's really nobody there's nobody to back that to be able to fund those studies. So really it's more unfortunately that people bring them in and they feel better after chiropractic and they continue on with that. And nobody's really done any really big, like placebo big studies like that.
Yeah, double blind. Well, and I think that's typical of a lot of veterinary medicine. I mean, finding good studies, you know, longitudinal studies, double blinded studies. So this is not an outlier in terms of, you know, using this modality to help our animal friends. But what have you seen in terms of benefits?
Yeah, so that's where we all see it, right? So, and I think that's what happened was human chiropractors started working on animals, and then they saw the benefit, and it was like the veterinarians are, oh, we want to get on that because we know animals and we know their structure and we know their function, and we can help them. So, so I do see a lot of benefit, and I get all types of cases that come through my doors. You know, some as basic as my dog has urinary incontinence, you know, can you help me with that? And occasionally I can. I've had cases where, yeah, it was just a pelvic alignment and we adjust them and they do better. And then they go off and then it happens again and they come back. I've had a few cases like that, not always, but
wow.
Yeah. So there can be cases like that. Very common to see dogs that are a stiff or sore, unable to get into a pooping posture, or whether it's in a agility, you know, and they're not able to turn as well anymore. So I see cases like that as well. So for the benefits of chiropractic, I mean, we see that usually we're helping them increase their flexibility. Usually we're seeing decrease in pain in most of these guys, and able to go back to what, you know, what I always call optimal function. So they're able to do the things they love to do, or, and whether that's sleep on the couch and be able to go outside and take a walk, or be able to get in and out of the car again. Those are the things that we're looking to make their quality of life, you know, back to where it was before.
And as rehabbers, you know, all three of us are ultimately searching for that goal in terms of, you know, their optimal physical performance, you know, and returning to, like you said, their normal activities, you know, whether it's just as a result of aging, you know, things diminishing and getting stiff and tight and out of alignment, or, you know, maybe post injury or surgery or something like that. And I think also just improved posture, you know, as we're working on these dogs' alignments and things, you know, I've seen the dogs with really roached backs, and after sending them to chiropractic, you know, they're much straighter in terms of their top line and that sort of thing, and then can move better as well. So
yeah, that's one of the reasons I'll see a lot of conformation dogs, is because of that they're roached back, and that has helped many patients, which is great. I mean, not just they look better right on the show ring, but they actually feel better, and right, they can hold themselves in a better posture, or more a healthier posture for themselves long term, because if they're compensating, then over time that's not really going to be good for them either.
Right. And I think, you know, people should know and be aware that, like you said, it's not just appearance and aesthetic. If you're in a good posture, then that allows normal full movement. So they go hand in hand.
Correct. And that's why, I mean, even I'll see three-legged dogs, because their posture is abnormal, right? So now I'll see those guys so that we're able to get their spine back in alignment, because of the way they're standing is abnormal. And that's going to be lifelong, but we can help hopefully keep their spine and their nervous system able to adjust to those changes.
Right. I've already learned many things that chiropractic can treat that I never thought about. Right. So this is right. Fantastic. Right. Wow. So Dr. Rogers, tell us your story, you know, as a DVM and a graduate of Tufts, how did you evolve into a more holistic veterinarian and specifically gravitate toward chiropractic in your practice?
Well, I originally was like a veterinary nurse technician. I always knew I wanted to be a veterinarian. It was just one of those things that you have a calling for. Took a little roundabout way to get there, but eventually did. And when I got into vet school, I knew I wanted to do holistic medicine. I just knew that was the way to go for me. I knew what conventional medicine could kind of do, and I really wanted to look for something different, and I wanted something hands-on. So that's kind of what happened, was I got into holistic medicine and started going to different veterinary practice that had holistic modalities. So chiropractic originally is considered like holistic, same with acupuncture, even rehab. I mean, it's more conventional, but still it was just not what you would think of as conventional medicine. And so I started with that thinking. And as soon as I graduated from Tufts, they offered that summer a chiropractic course. And I was so ecstatic that I could actually like do what I was going to say, you know, actually do what I was saying. And so they allowed me to take that course, because many times they make you wait, go become a veterinarian, then come back. And I was adamant, like, this is really what I want to do. And I actually never looked back. And so that's why as soon as I got out of vet school, I took the chiropractic course and immediately started using it. And so that was really, really helpful when I first got out of vet school and got into my first job. They were a practice that did a lot of conformation dogs and agility dogs. Like, we saw a lot of those types of dogs. So chiropractic actually fit really well. So I got lots of hands-on practice right out of school.
What serendipitous timing for that course to be offered. And it's almost like you willed it to happen.
Right. Well, it felt that way because it was the only time it was offered. And it was So it did. It felt like, wow, this is where I'm supposed to be. And then really what set me, I hadn't had chiropractic done myself, right? So this is the weird thing. I do now regularly, but I didn't at the time. And I had a really bad TMJ, and I was really like just not feeling good. And one of the chiropractors, human chiropractors that was there teaching the course, saw me and he's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "No, my TMJ is really bad. And it's been going on for years. And I really don't, you know, I don't know what to do about this." And he's like, "Chiropractic?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Do you want me to help you? Or can I touch you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he worked on my jaw and it never hurt again. Until I got like really, until I ended up getting like some really serious dental work, literally a decade later.
Yeah.
Like just recently it started bothering me. So, it was, he's what he called a one and done. And I want more of those, you know?
Yeah. Well, and both Kathy and I are very familiar with you because, I think that you were one of the first, you know, chiropractors treating animals in this area. And, you know, over the years, I think it's been what, 18 years or so.
Yep.
We've shared many, many clients. So not only have our own dogs experienced chiropractic, but, you know, definitely many, many, you know, mutual clients over the years. And, you know, maybe tell us a little bit about that, like how you feel chiropractic aligns with animals that are going through the more traditional physical rehabilitation.
Yeah, I really, it's hard for me not to, when I'm doing rehab, it is hard for me not to adjust dogs. So, because I feel I'm like, oh, this is an area that needs some work. And I know in physical therapy, we do have mobilizations, right? Joint mobilizations. And I think there's like classified 1 to 4, I think there is. And then chiropractic, I think is like 5. It's when you actually do that thrusting, that low force, high velocity thrusting. And it's hard not for me, like not to do that because I want to help them. But there are some patients that come in that I'll say, you know, chiropractic is a good way for them to go, you know, good thing for us to do with them along with the rehab. Or I'll say, no, this is not a case that is good for chiropractic and acupuncture is the way to go. And I unfortunately don't do acupuncture, although maybe that's fortunate, I'm not sure, but it's one of those things that, it's just something else I haven't really focused on, but I do know some needling techniques and such, but ultimately there are plenty of wonderful acupuncturists out there. So I do try to add those things in as needed for our rehab patients for sure.
What diagnosis are you most commonly treating for dogs? You know, in rehab, I would say the probably one of the most common things for us is dogs with osteoarthritis. So what are you treating?
Yeah, I see a lot of different cases, and I see a lot of like second opinion cases too. So, but I want to say a lot of the sports dogs, right? There was an injury and they're just not moving quite right. They're just not, again, at that optimal function. So, or performance. And so they want that, you know, want me to take a look at them and see what we can do to help. And sometimes that chiropractic is part of that, manual therapy to get in there and help them. I also do see the older dogs with the osteoarthritis as well. And those dogs and very, you have to be really gentle with them. You know, you can't just try and like push everything back in the neurological system and snap it back into place. So you do have to be careful with those guys, but I do see that as well. And along with a lot of confirmation dogs, they just want them again, moving the best they can. And some of those handlers or some of the owners or the breeders, they can tell when they just aren't moving well, like their pelvis isn't moving or the front, they're used to their dogs moving in a certain way and they're not seeing that. So I see a lot of those cases as well. Also surgical, like I do see post-surgical cases that aren't recovering the way they expected. I can't say it's just one thing. I see disc dogs as well, but you have to be super careful with those guys. I see neurological cases, but careful again, if it's not diagnosed, if you know, don't want to just be going in there and just trying to do these techniques that might do harm. So first, we want to make sure that we can get a diagnosis if we can. But some people are just looking for something else to help their pets feel better. So you just have to, I am always careful of that.
Yeah. And that makes me, it kind of leads me to my next question. Are there any contraindications?
Yes. Yes. One of the biggest ones are like an acute disc. I don't want to touch those at all. People will come in asking, and I just will not, I don't mind adjusting around it or working on them, but I will not adjust near that area or do anything that could potentially cause more compression to that spinal cord. And then also I had someone come in with a dog that got bit, and ultimately it was like, oh, we should do an x-ray on this. And the dog's leg was fractured. That chiropractic is not going to help that, but that's what they came in for. So fractures are another thing. We just don't, I don't want to be working on something like that. And the owner had been massaging the area thinking she was helping, infections, we want to take care of those before we think, especially like infections of the spine, of the vertebral section. So like a discospondylitis, we have to be really careful with those. Cervical instability, like a wobblers, or also the cervical occipital malformation in those dogs, or the SM. So I have to be really careful with those guys too. Because if you have an instability, we want to work on areas that aren't moving as well. We don't want to work on things that are moving too much. You have to be careful, because if you're actually working on that, you might be making it worse. So,
how about neoplasia? So things like, bone tumors, things like that.
Correct. Yep. That's another one too. Yep.
And I want to jump in here too, because you brought up a good point about, not working on the parts that are already moving too much, because one of the goals of chiropractic is to restore proper movement. But what I think our audience needs to know is that the body will naturally, kind of compensate, if you will, when there's an area of instability, then the areas above and below that will become too stable and immobile in an effort to, maybe try to stabilize the area that's moving too much. So where I think that chiropractic comes in is, as you were saying, Dr. Rogers, kind of staying away from those areas that are already moving too much, but creating that balance and getting the areas that are not moving enough moving again.
Correct. Yep. Again, I absolutely agree with you that's what we're trying to do is work around those. That's why we say work around the area, mm-hmm. Not actually on the area. So especially if it's really painful, right? So, but then if we're doing something else for that area, again, sometimes if we're doing rehab or laser and we're working on that area, then that's chiropractic may be good for if the sacrum is getting what we call, stuck or jammed up, then being able to get that moving again actually helps so that, that everything else can actually heal as well.
How do you know if the pet is responding favorably to adjustments? How do we measure these outcomes?
Yeah, I think it's really what owners will tell me that their pets are moving better, they're in less pain. I can see it when they're, sometimes I love those cases where I adjust them and I watch them move and then I adjust them and I watch them move again. And I'm like, oh, they look so much happier,
So much better. It's so exciting, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, it's so exciting.
It's like your dog, right? Could go outside and then just pause for the poop. It's like, yay. So I really want to say that's the type of measurement. I mean, in human medicine, you can ask somebody, how do you feel? And they like so much better. And I had an adjustment like that. I had a pinched nerve in my upper back. And, was pretty much told, oh, you're, that's it. You blew a disc in your neck. You're done. Like you're going to need surgery, blah, blah, blah. And it was one adjustment in the middle of my back. And as soon as he did that and I came off the table, I started crying. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, the pain is gone. It was like so amazing.
Miraculous.
It could work, right? I knew it worked and I'd been going, but it was just amazing. So I know what these dogs feel like, especially if they have a pinched nerve in their rib. Gosh, those dogs are amazing. You adjust them and all of a sudden they can breathe. You can see them literally take a deep breath and be able to feel better. So
I'm so glad you said this about the emotional piece, because that was actually sort of one of my questions, because I am always interested in the emotional lives of animals and what they're experiencing and what their lives are like. And I really think there is an emotional piece to chiropractic and rehab and acupuncture. I think it feels good. And I think that when animals feel good, I don't think animals like lie about feeling better. You know what I mean? Like if you asked me if I felt better, I'd be like, well, maybe I feel better. But your dog or your cat or your bird or your goose or whatever you have, when they feel better, you can see it. So do you think there's an emotional piece there, this sort of bonding and feeling better and this positive reinforcement?
Yeah. I mean, and you guys know this too with rehab, right? You make them feel better and they can't wait to get back. Yeah. The cookies are great, but also they know if it hurt every time you went, or they came in, they're not going to want to come in. So that's part of it, is you see that they want to come in, and that hands-on technique is just making them feel better. And that's why people come back if they have a problem, because they know it made them feel better. I still think there's an emotional piece to that. I think just hands-on with an intention of helping is very healing. So I think that we're all trying to do that. And chiropractic is a way of doing it, which is why I do try to use my hands mostly.
The other dog that I had that saw his chiropractor was Digger, who was the blind pug. And he would ask for it. It was really kind of funny. He would just back his butt up to the chiropractor and kind of be like, okay, let's make with the Kraken here. It was really interesting to see, because also he had some fears of certain people, particularly men. His chiropractor was a woman, and he really loved her very much, but he would ask. It appeared as though he was just sort of asking for it. He'd back his butt right up. And go,
yep.
Okay, let's go.
Yep. Yeah.
So Dr. Rogers, a little shifting gears here. What is the most exotic species you've ever done chiropractic with?
Yeah, I'm kind of boring, really. I don't do, you know, some people are like, oh, I did a, you know, did a giraffe or a hippo or I think it was a rabbit, like is really the only exotic.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, it's something, but I've done, you know, horses, cats. I have a few cat clients, which is great. I love seeing them, and they feel like that hands-on technique helps for them. I've seen cats for the feline hyperesthesia, where their back just bothers them. And then mostly dogs is really, at this point, I see really mostly dogs. I would see something if somebody, you know, brought me in, like, I don't know, you know, some sort of weird, strange, I don't know. We had somebody coming in with a Kriya at one point for acupuncture, but they never asked me to do chiropractic. So
you got
to
hover around when they're in. I'll keep this in mind, because I see a lot of geese and chickens and ducks. And so I'll keep that in mind.
All right.
and Kathy, we're having an interview with a tortoise owner.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I think that would be interesting, because with their shell carapace, you wouldn't be able to get to their spine, but I wonder if you could indirectly, you know, affect them.
I'm going to have to think on that.
Yeah. But as you said, chiropractic is treatment of the entire body, and they certainly, you know, have their neck exposed and their
limbs. Well, if
their
you can get their head out.
Yeah, if they weren't all tucked in.
Can you tell us, Linda, can you share us a story with us? Maybe something that you had, a case that you had that had an unexpected result, something that you hadn't seen, something that you could share with us?
Yeah, I love this question. I have two. I have one. The first chiropractic adjustment I ever did was on my own dog. And she had a TED tilt for years. She, as a puppy, had run into a Swissie, and screamed, and she dented her skull. I brought her to Tufts. I was a student at the time. They were like, oh yeah, it's like a dented can. She'll, you know, it'll be fine. You know, she has blood coming out of her nose. So she did heal up. Everything was fine, but she always had this little bit of a head tilt, and I never really thought much about it. And so my first chiropractic adjustment, I was like, I am going to see if I can work on my own dog. And sure enough, I adjusted her slowly, because I didn't know what I was doing, unfortunately. It popped back into place. She screamed, ran around, came back, and she could totally move her head. Like, it was not tilted anymore. And I wish I'd gotten that video, because
it was
not a great chiropractic adjustment, but it was my first one. And I actually had success. And I was hooked after that, like after my own adjustment to myself and then my dog, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other one, when I was in practice, and I'll never forget this one either, is it was a Malamute that had a TPLO, and I saw him 5 weeks post TPLO, and he had what I call the chicken wing. Did you guys ever see the chicken wing with the dog with the leg that never gets put down?
It just
out to the side. I call those chicken wings because they don't want to put their foot down, their paw down, and walk on that leg. So he was like that for 5 weeks. And the surgeon kept saying, oh, he's just a Malamute. He's just a big baby there. You know, they're just overly sensitive. And so I was like, all right, well, let's see, you know, like, let me feel him. And I felt him over, and his sacrum was so, it's just stuck. And people say the sacrum isn't really a joint. Well, it does have motion. And I adjusted him and got that nervous system back. And he put that leg down and walked out of there. And I was just like, oh yeah, like those are the cases that just make you feel like, yep, that it sure did work. So that was a good one. So
that is
and then he went into the lab after that.
That's a real feel good moment.
Yeah. And especially the owner, right? So she was just so ecstatic that her dog like brought tears to her eyes because her dog now was like out of pain.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. I mean, these are, like you said, great kind of one and dones. But most of the time, Dr. Rogers, it is a more subtle change. It requires follow-up treatment. When you first start seeing a pet with and treating them with chiropractic, what is your typical frequency of treatment, and how do you judge that? Like when they should come back, and how often and how long and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, dogs and cats and horses they don't hold on to their baggage as much as people, I think. So I can see them, and it depends on the condition. But if I have something acute, like I had, I did have a head tilt that I was working on, you know, I'd work on like two times a week. That's the most I've ever worked on something. And at this point, I hardly like have to do that. I don't know if things just got better but usually I see them once a week for a few treatments, and then kind of spread that out to, you know, every couple of weeks, every 3 to 4 weeks. And then on a maintenance, most people will come in with their pets and bring them in every 4 to 6 weeks. Although there are some I just see twice a year, and there are some that I do just once a year. I'll do them with their annual. So it really depends. But I would say, just like human chiropractor, it's about every 4 to 6 weeks if people are trying to keep them at a maintenance level. But I do have a few patients that I do every 2 weeks, and that just seems to keep them moving the best, you know, the best they can be. So
sounds good. I want to circle back before we wrap things up. Again, for the, I was reading on your website actually, and for the average pet owner, just kind of reiterate some things that might be signs that chiropractic would be indicated. And these are actually signs of what is called subluxation. And Dr. Rogers, do you want to explain what subluxation actually is before I move on?
Yeah, because actually in veterinary terminology or medical like veterinary terminology, subluxation means something totally different than what it means in chiropractic terminology. So we don't use it too much because of that that difference. So if you talk to a veterinarian about a subluxation, they will pretty much say like the bone is not in the joint, like the joint is not together, it's completely apart.
Kind of analogous to like dislocation that I use in around my people patients, correct?
Correct. Yes. Okay. And so it's a partial dislocation. So that you'll see that with dogs that come in, we'll do hip radiographs. That's the most common to see it. And we'll say, oh, their hips are subluxated. So it can be a misalignment. It can be a partial dislocation. Doesn't necessarily have to be a full dislocation. So in chiropractic, it really is more of a really slight, maybe misalignment of the bone. And then we also have this loss of full range of motion of a joint. So it's very subtle. It's not something you're going to see on x-ray or something that even your general practitioner is going to feel. It really, you do really need to have that subtle technique to be able to feel these areas, or another way where you're able to determine that that's the area that needs to be worked on or adjusted.
Right. And I think that's important, you know, going to somebody with experience, because it is that manual evaluation. You know, Kathy and I talk about our hands being our most important tools. So again, in terms of signs of this subluxation for our pet friends, it could be noticing some back or joint pain, you know, that they're guarded, spasmed, you know, maybe it feels, you know, warm around there, what have you, because it's just not in that perfect alignment. A lack of coordination. We haven't really talked about that, but maybe not just stiffness, but kind of a more drunken gait, or like in the agility world, maybe missing jumps or that sort of thing. Would that be true, Dr. Rogers?
Oh yeah. I definitely see cases of that are more subtle, that there's a loss of performance that somebody notices in an agility field. It would be how much time per second per yard type of thing, or yards per second, excuse me. And so, yeah, there can be that sort of thing we can see. I want to say it's hard for owners sometimes to feel heat or pain or spasm. I think they just really notice that their dogs just don't feel right. And that's kind of right. So they bring them to the regular vet, and the regular vet says, oh, they're fine. And then those are some of the cases I end up seeing. Same with like a gait abnormality, and they'll be able to, somebody will watch their dog or their cat and just say, they're just not moving right. And then they think of chiropractic, I think, at that point. I do think a good, you do want to have a regular veterinary a general exam on something first. And then a lot of times that will turn into a referral. I do have many, like you sent me cases, but I also have a lot of veterinarians that send me cases. I wish I could see them all. I would love to. So I do have people that, just want to send their cases because they feel like it's more subtle, and that not everybody looks at that. But the cases that I get are people that are more assessing that type of I guess subtlety of their pets. That's why I don't generally see acute or something that's really in a lot of pain, because it's more a little bit later on once we kind of know what's going on.
And I think too, when you're talking about performance, it doesn't have to be an athlete. As Kathy says, our dogs, our pets are performing feats of athleticism on a daily basis. So it could just be, missing when they're jumping up on the couch, or as you referred to earlier, not being able to get into the car efficiently. And they could, and what drives me crazy, like they could before, but it's like, oh, well, they're older, this is just aging. Yeah. And it may not be, the dog's 8 years old, but maybe they can't, like you said, their pelvis isn't moving correctly, or they can't open up their hips fully. And so they can't get that power and that extension to be able to jump up onto that piece of furniture or into the car. So it's those kinds of things as well that our average pet owner should be looking for.
How about our more dramatic cases? So some of our patients a fair amount of my patients are in wheelchairs. And I know we're not going to be able to restore the function of the hind end for some of these dogs because they have things like degenerative myelopathy, or they have, IVDD. But are those dogs, can those dogs benefit? Those dogs are surely changing the way they're moving because they're all front end. I mean, is that dog a candidate for chiropractic as well?
Yeah. Again, we have to be careful with what do we have as a diagnosis, but certainly, yes, those neuropathy dogs that we just throw in a catch-all, that they're just getting this weakness and we don't really know why. And they're compensating, right? Because usually it starts in the back and moves forward. So then, yeah, you can get all sorts of neck compensation, front end, and between their shoulder blades. That's a huge area that becomes a problem. So yeah, if they're compensating for a weakness somewhere else, then we're gonna have areas that we can work on in other places to be able to help them.
And when pets are compensating and overusing an area, certainly the muscles can get tight and kind of pull things out of alignment, and also more wear and tear on those joints. So how specifically would you say chiropractic affects arthritis, because both Kathy and I do see so much osteoarthritis and degenerative joint disease. And can chiropractic actually fix arthritis?
Yeah, I wish we could. I wish somebody could figure it out.
I was setting you up.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah. The reason I wanted to bring this up, Dr. Rogers, is I was going to a body worker, and I have a fair amount of arthritis throughout my body and multiple joints from my hands to my knees and to my lower back. And I asked this person the same question. I said, I don't understand, you know, how you're affecting my arthritis, you know, through doing these techniques. And she answered, and it just resonated with me, that again, by restoring the balance around each joint and ensuring that things are moving as efficiently as possible, that everything is in the right place, you're then going to have less wear and tear on those joints. So you're mitigating that progression of arthritis, because things are moving more efficiently and you're not getting maybe the friction and such that if things are slightly subluxed, if you will, you would be experiencing. So I do think that many of our ancillary services that we've mentioned can affect arthritis in a very, very positive way for those reasons.
I do agree with that. And I do agree chiropractic can help as well. Again, trying to restore that neurological system is really what we're trying to get in there. Or sometimes if you do have, you know, a really, really bad elbows and you can actually readjust the spine or work on the shoulders. And, I mean, certainly we call it all catch-all, you know, chiropractic. And when we're talking about that quick thrust or the low force, the high velocity thrust, then, you know, we're affecting that area, but it doesn't always have to be like that. I mean, chiropractic also involves working on the head. So you can work on areas that aren't going to necessarily think of as having to move like that. So I do think I totally agree that when we're working on patients like that, we can help them in other areas because we are bringing back that function and they're compensating. So therefore, we're hopefully realigning the spine is going to be one of the things, like that's the main thing of chiropractic, but it's many times it's because they're compensating from something else. And that's going to help the something else be able to feel better and be able to move better as well. So,
but it is very scientifically based, I guess, is what I want our audience to hear, and how these manipulations will affect the flow, if you will, of the nervous messages,
yes.
Right? From yes. The brain, spinal cord, and out to the periphery.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And there is like an actual flow or mechanism of that. I can't remember if it has been proven, but it certainly was one of the ways that they feel like that's how we are affecting the whole nervous system. And it's not, again, not just, oh, I'm going to, you know, snap this bone and joint and that's it. And now I've got better motion. It's actually about affecting the nervous system mm-hmm. in order to get that range of motion.
And I think I think a lot of studies in human medicine now are showing that ultimately a lot of what we are doing through these various modalities is actually affecting that nervous system. It's just a different means to an end. So whether it's massage, acupuncture, chiropractic, heat, electricity, magnets, you know, whatever it may be, it's ultimately, and I don't want to spew misinformation, but I just heard through my human PT colleagues that are treating patients that they're figuring out that different beings respond to different things. And that's why it's important to have many tools in our toolbox. And those tools are ultimately affecting kind of one thing. So, you know, I may respond better to chiropractic and Kathy may respond better to acupuncture, but ultimately it's all affecting that nervous system.
Correct. That's how I see it. And I mean, even that happens with medications, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we have medications. There's not just one you have ACE inhibitors, but you all have actually a whole bunch of those, and some people do better on one and versus another, that sort of thing. So I do think the same thing with these types of modalities, that everybody, I mean, we're made up very much the same, but we do are ultimately different. So I think that's certainly important, that we are affecting the nervous system in the way that that body can respond. And
in time. And this is where Chris and I talk about all the time, about listening to your patient. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from your patient?
And right. The animals are so receptive. I just think of them as these open vessels. You know, Kathy, mm-hmm. you referred to earlier about, you know, the human baggage, where our minds can kind of override things, you know, like, you know, well, I've been hurting for 30 years, you know, nothing's going to change this. Yeah. Or going back into our same stress inducing habits that perpetuate the problem. Right. And animals don't do that, because they're just, you know, like I said, just these open vessels that are receiving this great healing energy.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we don't have to necessarily see them. I don't have to see them as much either, because they do, they kind of respond, and it's like, oh, things are still moving pretty well, you know? So I think that is one of the reasons I love working on animals, is they are so open like that. If they are receptive to that type of treatment, it really seems to be beneficial for them, and it shouldn't hurt. Right. So that's the big thing too. I don't want anybody to think chiropractic should hurt. Sometimes I think it can be surprising to some animals, especially if something does pop, they might go like, what was that, you know, type of thing. Or if something does get reset, but it never should be painful. Yeah. I have heard of chiropractors where, yeah, they're like, it has to be painful in order. And it's like, no, that's not the truth. So
that's counterintuitive, you know, so
no one's signing up for that.
Right. So before we get to your final thoughts and wrap up our show today, I just wanted to read something again from the website where you work, because I think it kind of says it all. And the statement is, chiropractic is the science and art of using the inherent recuperative powers of the body, dealing with the relationship between the nervous system and the spinal column to restore and maintain health by correcting subluxations. And through hands-on specific adjustments, the problem is alleviated and homeostasis is restored.
Homeostasis.
I love that, right? We all want homeostasis.
That's right. Dr. Rogers, can you tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, the best place to find me is actually at Integrative Animal Health Center. So, you know, I call there, or you email is actually the best way to get in nowadays, to kind of get some information. So that's where you really can find me.
So I'll include that website on the show notes. And then from there, people can get to the email. Is that true?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Last I knew that was the case. I mean, our email is info@iahcbolton.com.
So okay.
If you want.
And that's similar to the website, which is www.iahcbolton.com, because that stands for Integrative Animal Health Center. So cool.
Correct.
And then if people aren't in the New England area, there are other websites and things that are certification bodies that people around the country or around the world can find chiropractors in their area. And we will include those in the show notes as well.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you, Doctor. It was wonderful to talk with you.
It was great talking with you guys too. Thanks for asking me to talk about this. It is a passion of mine for sure. And I would love to help, you know, as many as possible. So, yes.
Well, that rings loud and clear. And before we got on, I was just saying that even though we've shared many cases and talked on the phone many times, I hadn't actually seen your face until now. So that was a real treat. So I appreciate your time and expertise. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed our show. Follow us on Facebook or on Instagram at Petability Podcast.
For more information about Kathy's books and living with blind dogs, please go to enableyourpet.com. Thank you, and please tune in next time.